What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. So you know who's back? Christy Blasey Ford. Christine Blasey Ford, everybody. Remember her? CBF? Sorry, Dr. CBF? No? Really? I got to tell you, this woman, it's not even really her. It was the institutional support that swarmed around her and buffered her, elevated her, that I will tell you, and I said this at the time, because it's been now 6 years, 7 years, when she came out with her accusation against Brett Kavanaugh during the confirmation hearings. And this woman, the response to this woman's accusation radicalized me. Like, up until that point, I thought, people that are involved in these institutions, you know, whether they are in the courts or they're in the legal community at large, or some of, even these elected officials, their staffers, law enforcement, media, that was the tipping point for me. That was the breaking point. And I had conversations with people. I remember one. So this was 2018, when I was meeting with a relative of mine. She's older than I am, and her sister. And I was up in Asheville, working in Asheville at the time, and they came to town to see the drum circle, And we start talking about this case because it's now, and I did, people got mad at me when I was doing the Murdoch trial. But how I did the Murdoch trial is how I did the hearings with Brett Kavanaugh. Every day we were doing it live, or it was audio and stuff from the morning session that afternoon and whatever. So like every single day this stuff was going on, like we were almost wall to wall with it. We went through all of the evidence, all the accusations, the details, the narratives, the reporting on it. And there's no doubt in my mind that this woman lied. I don't know if she lied about being assaulted. I don't know if that actually did happen. But there is zero evidence at all that it was Brett Kavanaugh. And the evidence actually is that it was not. And there's more evidence that she is an uncredible accuser. She is not to be believed in her accusations against Brett Kavanaugh. And there was so much evidence in his defense and against her that when I saw the swarming around her and this protective bubble that people erected around her, why? Because it was about abortion. It was about the Supreme Court seat, right? That's what it was all about. Let me go back to Molly Hemingway. She wrote a book called Justice on Trial, and she wrote it with Carrie Severino. It's a best-selling book, and it broke down all of the errors and the biases in the media coverage of Christine Blasey Ford. She claimed, so the reason why her name is now in the news again is because she wrote a book. She wrote a book, and now she's hawking a book. And so the left is going to elevate her again, and they're going to rally around her again. And so she first starts off with, a couple of appearances with some softball interviewers who are ideologically on her side. And so she starts with The View, obviously, right? And so she's on the show today, and she claims that she did not know that her televised hearing in 2018 was going to be televised. She said that. Did not know. By the way, she does not speak in that baby voice that she came and spoke. Remember that? That affectation that she adopted for her testimony? She no longer has that. I don't know if she worked on that in the last 6 years, you know, was able to get past that baby voice thing that she did. I don't know. But she claims now that she was not aware that the televised hearing was going to be televised. Molly Hemingway notes that, in fact, her lawyers spent a great deal of time negotiating the number and the location of the cameras that were going to be in that hearing. What does that mean? It means she either lied while on The View, or if she's telling the truth that she did not know it was going to be televised, it means that her lawyers negotiated all of this stuff and never told her that. And that's, like, that's a disciplinary type of action, right? For a lawyer. Lawyers, you're not allowed to put your clients into these types of situations without fully informing them. Like, what are their options here? She didn't have to do it the way she did it, right? But they chose to do it that way. And what she's saying now is that her own lawyers kept that hidden from her while they negotiated it. This is what I mean. She is not a credible person. Never was. What else? There's no evidence that she and Brett Kavanaugh ever met. None. Her friend, Leland Kaiser, no relation to Kaiser Sose, but Leland Kaiser says that she did not have any confidence, her quote, any confidence in Blasey Ford's story. Her friend said she had no confidence in that story. And then Kaiser's friends tried to get her to change her story, to support Blasey Ford. All of the alleged witnesses that were at this party, this high school party of like six people that Blasey Ford claimed the assault happened at, none of them remember her. They don't know. They don't remember her being there. They dispute that this ever happened. The people that were supposedly in the room, they all deny that this happened. Her father supported Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. That's kind of weird. Don't you think so? If your daughter accused a guy of what Blasey Ford accused Kavanaugh of, would you support his nomination and appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court? I would think that'd be a disqualifying thing. But her own father said, no, I think it's all right. Blasey Ford did not know the location of where it occurred. She did not know how she arrived. She did not know how she got home. She did not know the date. She did not know even what time of the week it was. But she does remember she had precisely and only a single beer. And that's the extent of the details she remembers about the house, about the people, about it, really anything. But she remembers she had one beer, a single beer. Also, Brett Kavanaugh, being kind of a nerd, apparently, kept a calendar, wrote down all sorts of notes all the time about stuff he was doing and his scheduling and everything like that. And his calendars support his claims, his alibi, not hers. Oh, but he just wrote that at the time to cover his tracks. I don't know, because remember the other woman, what was her name, Ramirez or something? And she came out and was accusing him of running like gang rapes at like some house in Joe Biden's neck of the woods. I don't know. Maybe Biden could tell us something. Maybe Hunter may have attended some of these. I don't know. Maybe he could like help us figure this out if it was, because I think it was over at like what, Rehoboth Beach, right? Yeah, so she's back in the news. And I'm not so sure this is actually a good look for Democrats right now. The Hellion points out the one strand of hair that kept getting trapped inside of Christine Blasey Ford's glasses drove me nuts. That and the up-talking. The up-talking? Everything is like this? And the tone always goes up? Yeah. Molly Hemingway continues on her list of what we know about Christine Blasey Ford, and how we know that her story was concocted about Brett Kavanaugh. Now, she may have had some sort of assault against her at some other point, but there was never any evidence that connected Brett Kavanaugh to her. So, running through the list, as I said, there's no evidence they even knew each other. Her friend, her best friend, said it didn't happen, had no confidence in the story. Her own father didn't support the story. She didn't know the location, didn't know how she got there, didn't know how she left. Didn't know, nobody else at the party knew her, could confirm she was there. All of his contemporaneous calendars support Kavanaugh's side of the story. She changed the date of the incident by years from her initial stories. Character witnesses from the time all supported Brett Kavanaugh. Ford's first mention of Kavanaugh's name was in 2012, but that was after he became a national figure. False claims were made about her inability to fly. Remember that one? I can't fly anymore. I'm too scared to fly. Even though she was like all over the world, like on Hawaii, snorkeling and going to all these, yeah, all these islands in the middle of the ocean, which you have to fly to get there. And then she flew to the hearing. She scrubbed her social media before she went public. She said she wanted to stay confidential, but her very first call on all of this was to the Washington Post. Her attorney admitted a motive of desiring an asterisk by Kavanaugh's name. They always want, that's what they wanted, the history books to have a little star next to his name. Like, he doesn't really belong there. She has benefited politically, financially, and socially. And there's nothing in Brett Kavanaugh's past that's even remotely similar to this claim at any point prior or since. Also, remember the one about the separate doorway? Remember that one? Yeah, that she was like, she claimed that she had to have at least two front doors put on her house. Remember that one? Yeah, because, so this way, if she was going to be attacked, she had another door out of the room. That was the claim. Although the contractor was like, yeah, no, that's to a separate, there was like they had a little rental unit on the side that went to a separate unit. Yeah. Everything that this woman said was crap. And in fact, the FBI did an investigation at the demands by the Democrats, and their conclusion was, quote, there's no corroboration of the allegations made by Dr. Ford or the other one, Deborah Ramirez. And her story was even crazier. So, yeah, what a wonderful news cycle. But I don't think it's a good move for the Democrats, because if it radicalized me, I suspect there are going to be a lot of people that are not going to be thrilled to see this story making the rounds again.
All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay. So what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply at CarolinaReadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
With no evidence beyond her own hazy memory, Christine Blasey Ford accused a father of sexual assault in the highest profile venue imaginable. Amid Brett Kavanaugh's denials, she then accused him of lying about sexual assault. Democrats used Blasey Ford in the service of a vicious political smear campaign. The accomplice media took up their cause and joined in, dispensing with traditional standards of journalistic rigor to unfairly malign Kavanaugh's character. They then ignored an assassination attempt on Brett Kavanaugh to the point where even Bill Maher took notice. The media's failure was so egregious that some of the justice's opponents reluctantly acknowledged that at the time. Ronald McDaniel even told the Federalist.com a year after Kavanaugh's confirmation that, quote, Kavanaugh brought people back to the Republican Party. She said, it's the first time in my time as chair where I had people call and say, I'm going to join you today, and I haven't been taking your calls for 2 years, but I'm going to write you a check right now. They felt like it was such an overreach, that it was character assassination, that this was a good, honest, decent guy who was being just railroaded. Senator Claire McCaskill, Democrat, she blamed, partially at least, the loss of her Senate seat on, quote, the very real perception that this was an 11th hour attempt to gut a guy. Journalists have had many opportunities to course correct since missing Donald Trump's rise, but have basically continued sprinting in the opposite direction. Just last year, trust in media dipped back to a record low, and you'll hardly get a better illustration of why than Christine Blasey Ford's book tour. That's a piece by Emily Jasinski at thefederalist.com. So why write this book? Why, if Christine Blasey Ford were shamed by her lies, were she not insulated from the ramifications of her lies, right? She would never even think about writing a book. I'd like to believe this, and maybe I still live in, you know, a pre-2010 world or something, but I couldn't imagine doing it if I had been outed as a liar. But the fact is, you know, people still believe her. They believe that this happened. There are people that still do, probably roughly, I don't know, what, a third to 45%, 35-45% of the American public, basically all leftists, you know? They still believe her, and they believe Brett Kavanaugh. We got a rapist on the Supreme Court, even though there was zero evidence of any of that. So do they think that this helps? So let's track it down. Let's run it down. You think it helps. Why would you think it helps? Is it because it's shoring up a base, this left-wing base that hasn't gotten enough of their anti-Kavanaugh fill or something, right? But that's not most voters. Well, that then tells me that you're not actually confident that you've got a base that's secure. If you're going around promoting this, then it tells me that you're not so confident that this base is secure. Or do you think that this wins you new converts? Do you think there are people that don't remember this from 6 years ago? Maybe they're young people. They don't know all the details, right? Maybe they were 12 at the time, and now they're 18 or 19. So you think you're going to woo them now? Maybe that's possible. I mean, that could be the case. But they usually vote Democrat anyway, as young people. I don't think this helps Democrats. I really don't. And I almost get the sense that this is either, or maybe it's actually both, bubble thinking, right? They're in the bubble and they think that, yeah, this is awesome. And they're so blinded that they don't know that this, how this has impacted people outside of their bubble. So either they're blinded by it or they don't care. I don't know. I'm curious to watch because, you know, making her first appearance on The View, that's one thing. Now, is she going to show up on all of the Sunday morning talk shows? Is she going to be on, you know, all of the CNN shows? Is she going to make all the rounds, you know? And if she does, and you've got these political publications and networks that are embracing her and elevating her and amplifying this message, that's going to tell me that they think that there's some benefit to doing so. I'm not so sure they are correct. So please proceed.
All right. Well, just as I predicted, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in North Carolina. The wait is over. Now you can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props that focus on individual players and their performance within a specific game, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time, and just in time for college basketball conference tournaments now underway. And as always, fast and easy payouts, and I have a special promo for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the code word Pete, and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code Pete. The crown is yours, but this is a limited time offer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Oh, and deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. And NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license.
So I mentioned, where was I? Oh, I needed to play this audio clip. Let me do this first, though. All of the newfound Blasey Ford, Christine Blasey Ford coming back on the scene, and people are, you know, newfound interest, renewed interest in her story. I am curious because this story, President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden's inner circle and former colleagues are rallying to the defense of a top aide accused of sexual harassment in statements provided to Fox News Digital. Anthony Bernal, an assistant to the president and top aide to the First Lady, have alleged, nearly a dozen current and former colleagues have alleged he has a long-running history of bullying and verbal sexual harassment. Is this different than Brett Kavanaugh or no? You know what I mean? Or how about this? Lawsuit accuses New York City Mayor Eric Adams of sexually assaulting a woman in a vacant lot in 1993. This woman's using the same law that they opened up in order to get Trump, E. Jean Carroll. And so now Eric Adams is being targeted in a similar case. Yeah, he may not get defended by the left, though, because he's been breaking the narrative on the immigration stuff. All right. First hour of the program, we went over the we were carrying some of the stuff from the impeachment hearing on Capitol Hill. Questioning has gone on throughout the day. I did not see this live as it happened, but here is the exchange that occurred between Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Tony Bobulinski, who has a very fun name to pronounce. And she's not a lawyer. I know that's going to come as a shock. I'm not sure if bartending school taught her this way of interrogating people or not, but you generally don't ask a question if you don't know the answer to it, and she's about to find out.
Mr. Bobulinski, I heard your opening statement. It's submitted to the record, part of our proceedings. I have a quick question. Simple.
Yeah?
Is it your testimony today that you personally witnessed President Joe Biden commit a crime?
I believe the fact that he was sitting with me while I was putting together a business deal.
Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir? Specifically.
You ask me to answer the question. I answered the question. No. RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is the
crime? It's a category of crimes that you're then charged.
You have charges. You have charges.
Okay, so the big winner in this exchange, Donald Trump, and all those people in Fulton County who have been charged under RICO statutes. They're like, oh, wait a minute. RICO's not a crime anymore. Hang on a second. Now, it is possible that AOC may think that he was referring to the island of Puerto Rico, and maybe she was saying, like, no human is illegal, you know? Like, no RICO is illegal. Or maybe, like, cousin RICO or uncle RICO. Maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, like, why all of a sudden she doesn't think RICO is a crime that people are charged under. And he's listing Farah. He's listing conspiracy.
Sir, please
you want me to name the exact statute
sir,
under RICO?
Yes.
Well, it's funny. In this committee room, everyone's not here. There's over 18
all right, sir, I reclaim my
lawyers
time.
That
I
went to law school.
I reclaim my time.
I'll leave it
my
up
time.
To you guys
okay,
to
thank
define
you, sir.
The statute
I reclaim my time.
RICO.
Clearly, what we are seeing here today
okay. yeah.
is a continuation
yeah.
of the 15-month saga
yeah.
of the Republican majority lost in the desert.
What?
Impeachment 101. The majority party or whomever is raising impeachment must accuse the president of a high crime, a specific high crime or misdemeanor. I would like to submit to the record HRES 918, the House resolution to open this impeachment inquiry.
Inquiry.
Without objection to order.
This resolution does not outline a high crime or misdemeanor.
All righty. So is that possible? I'm just spitballing here. Is it possible, though, that you start with an inquiry and then you develop the evidence, and then when you have the evidence, you then present the evidence and launch the impeachment charges? Is that the horse or is that cart? Because I'm thinking it's, you know, the horse is in front of the cart, so the horse is the inquiry, and then you load up the cart with all the charges, then it's like, okay, we're going to drop off the charges to the Senate. You know, like, that's how that's supposed to go, I thought. And it's not up to Bob Alinsky to identify the statute that Joe Biden violated, right? Oh, and by the way, Byron Donalds, congressman from Florida, he walked through, in about 3 minutes, he walked through the key pieces of evidence, which are the bank records and the wire transfers of money between China, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Jim Biden. Ran through them all, put them all into the record. That's what they're building their case on, the bank records, as they should. As they should. And then charge them and take it to a trial.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.